Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure and privilege to welcome to the Slayer Report someone I've wanted to have on for a long, long time, and that's Dan Perkins, who's the president of Hidden Safes, which is a business headquartered in Memphis, but they fly all over the country and do things in a lot of different places anyway, and very well respected here in the Memphis area. And that's Dan Perkins, president of Hidden Safes. And I have asked Dan to help us talk about how to purchase and install a safe. This is a topic that's coming up more and more these days as we look around the world and see different parts of the world experiencing negative interest rates, asking ourselves the question, could it come here? And of course, we see the move to control and minimize cash and the push to move to a cashless society. So there are many different things pushing us to be interested in getting a safe. So Dan, I'm so appreciative that you could join us on the Solaria Report. So welcome.
Oh, my pleasure, Catherine. Glad to be here.
Well, you've been doing this for 37 years, and so you know a lot about this. But the one thing I don't know about you is how in the world did you ever get into the safe business?
Well, it all started around a friendly poker game that my father had. Growing up as a child, I witnessed Friday night's poker games, and one of the members of the game had his collection stolen. And they all, my father's name was B, just like Aunt B, the initial B. Everybody said, B, you're the one with the real collection. You're the one that has the most to lose. You're next. And we
and
had
when you say collection, was it precious metals or guns?
Guns. I left that out, sorry. when we first started doing this, we were doing walk-in-sized gun safes. And
right.
Actually, we couldn't find anybody to do it for us. Ours were on display in gun cases, gun cabinets. And my mother really didn't like that because they were big
right.
cabinets and they filled up the living room. But
right.
anybody who came into our home saw these guns and left with wow. And that made my dad nervous. So
right.
he referred to some Humphrey Bogart movie where he did something under the dash and a pistol came out of a secret compartment, and that got the guys talking about hidden safes.
Right.
So back then, this was the late 70s, mid to late 70s, nobody did this. He got the idea to construct one with his son's help.
So this was not a voluntary, you got drafted.
Right. Heavy metal. it wasn't on my agenda at all. But he pulled it off. He's a real entrepreneur, a real idea guy. When he gets an idea in his head, he goes through with it. And the first one we built was so unique that one of the guys that played with us said, "You've got to do one for us." So we already had a customer, and he was an anesthesiologist.
Uh-huh.
So his guns were nice, nicer than ours. I left one thing out. We had one gun in particular that we didn't want to lose. It belonged to a Civil War general, and it looked like a piece of junk. But, you know, my great-grandfather was the color bearer. He carried the battle flag in the Civil
uh-huh.
War under this general. And somebody would probably throw the gun away thinking it's a piece of junk.
Right.
But it was more valuable than the entire collection. So
right.
we built ours, and then we did a job for our friend, and his partner, who was an anesthesiologist also, had to have one. Next thing you know, we were getting all these requests, and he was a stockbroker, you know, and I was self-employed. I bought and sold classic cars and motorcycles.
Uh-huh.
I was happy.
Right.
I was making good money and loved my job.
Uh-huh.
Next thing you know, I'm helping Dad carry all this metal, this plate metal, into people's homes, and that was a long time ago. Now he's retired, and
uh-huh.
and I look back over my career, and I could write a book over the situations I've been in since 1978.
Frankly,
doing
you should.
This.
Dan, you should write a book because, you know, there's a lot of people. When I first, you know, I moved to Tennessee and I realized pretty soon, you know, I need a safe. And I had no idea what to do. And it started, well, I want to just first walk through all the different reasons why somebody would want a safe. And I'll just start off with me. I have a lot of client files and different files, and I was very worried about documents and files and keeping copies that were safe. And some of them I could digitize and, you know, place in different places, but I was really worried about fire.
Right.
And so, you know, we have a great volunteer fire department here. So the first thing I did was I trekked on down to co-op and I trekked on down to the volunteer fire department, the guy who runs it, and said, okay, you know, if the house burns down, where's the safe that I can get that will, you know, all my documents will still be safe. So fire was a big one, but obviously another one is privacy and safety. So you have a gun collection, you want to keep it private, you know, or you've got cash at home or you've got precious metals, you want to keep it private. So privacy and safety is one. Theft is another. Economics is another, you know, because it gets expensive to keep things in depositories. And at some point, it's just cheaper to buy a safe and keep it at home. So, you know, for me, it was economics, it was theft, it was safety, it was convenience, it was privacy, it was fire. And it wasn't just valuables. As I said, for me, a big issue was documentation. But then the question becomes, you know, if you keep everything at home and you have a safe and everybody knows you have a safe, then how are you going to keep it private, secret, et cetera? You know, if somebody breaks in with a gun and holds the gun to your head and says, open your safe, what are you going to do? Which brings us to the idea of having a hidden safe.
Right.
So for most of the people that you've served over the last 37 years, what's the primary reason they get a safe, and then how many of them get hidden safes?
Well, with our name, Hidden Safes, we do hidden safes. A lot of people call and say, don't you just sell a regular safe? And I don't.
Right.
Maybe I will someday. I've toyed around with it. But I just, it's so competitive now. You can buy them at Home Depot and Office Depot and Tractor Supply. I mean, just everywhere.
Tractor Supply.
Everywhere. And you can't compete with their buying power. I'm a family business, and we custom make all of our safes. I suppose I could carry a line of safes, but then we'd be, you know, trying to make $50 or $100 trying to deliver a safe, and you risk damaging someone's floor. And, you know, I talked to a guy who was in the business, and he said, you have a niche market that I am envious of. It's so cool. It's like in the movies. So, you know, why would you ever want to sell regular safes?
Right.
You're right.
Exactly.
If I ever need one, I'll just go to Home Depot or wherever and buy my own.
Right.
You touched on a lot of the reasons people buy a safe, most of them. When we first got into this, it was hiding guns. It's just one gun safe after another, and they were almost all big enough to walk into.
Right.
And the wife usually would say, well, what about for me? You know, I've used this floor safe all my life, and I hate it. It's down on the floor. It's under the carpet. The lid is too heavy. I have to turn left, right, left, right. If I miss the number, I have to start over, and I just really don't like this, and I don't use it. I need something convenient. Back where I get dressed, you know, I don't want it in plain sight. What can you do for me? And we heard that over and over and over, almost every job. So we invented something we call a drawer safe. It's almost the closest thing to compare it to is a cash register.
Right.
We make them in sizes where we can hide them in a spot you're likely to have. So I have four standard sizes, and I custom make them as well.
Now, that goes in the wall or that goes in a cabinet?
I don't want to say too much about where I hide them.
Okay.
Let's just say that if I came to your house, I could find places for at least one of the sizes.
Right.
Maybe sometimes I can confuse you with options, which I've been known to be bad. A bad habit of mine is opening my mouth too much when I'm consulting with somebody and leaving them confused. I'm getting better at that, though. The drawer safe, what's unique about it is split-second access. And some people have learned that it's a great gun safe because of how fast you can get in it and how cleverly it can be hidden.
Right. Which is important because if somebody breaks in, you don't want them to see your gun.
Right. Not everybody wears a gun on their hip walking around their house every day. But if somebody were to just kick a door in or walk in through an unlocked door, how quickly can you get to your weapon? If it's in a locked safe, not very quickly.
Right.
But, and you know what's really cool about that is I've had quite a few people call me and buy a large number of these things. That way they can stash them all over their house and have quick access to a gun no matter where they are in the house.
Right.
And, of course, it's not all guns. There's safes for jewelry. There's the panic room, safe room scenario.
Right. I didn't mention that because you do build safe rooms as well.
Oh, yeah. The first one we did was for a doctor's wife. She stood in our walk-in, roughly 10 by 11 safe, just walk-in safe, and said, if you can make this where I can lock myself in it, I want one this big. Otherwise, I just want one of those drawer safes.
Right.
So she was our first safe room client.
Now, do you find interest in safe rooms is going up?
Yes. Seems more for tornado, but then again, that's changing. It seemed like the first spike in sales was for tornadoes. But crime in Memphis, we're either number one or number two in crime. Pretty much regularly. It's really, really getting bad here.
Right.
So, yeah, safe rooms are definitely, you know, popular, especially if you have the need for a safe that big anyway. It doesn't cost much more to make it where you can get in it and hide.
Right. So if a big walk-in safe, you might as well consider a safe room.
Yeah, when they're that big, I usually make the door where it has what I call the safe room option, which means you can control the safe door from either side.
Right.
You can go in, lock yourself in, and nobody can lock you in it from the outside or come in and get you out.
Right. Okay, so one of my questions is it better off, if I don't have a safe and I'm considering getting a safe, does it make more sense to always get more than one safe? I don't know. It always seemed to me that you wanted more than one, just because in the worst case that somebody figured out where that one was or you had to give up one, it'd be good to have another.
Exactly right. We call the second one a decoy safe.
Right.
It's got to be convincing. The last thing you want to do is put bricks and newspaper in a safe and have a guy with a pistol force you to open it.
Right.
That's going to backfire on you.
Right.
It's great if a random burglar picks it up and steals it thinking he runs off with all you've got, but like you say, if a crackhead comes in with a gun or a knife and says, open your safe, you better have something in there worth value.
Right.
A few hundred bucks, some papers that look important, some costume jewelry. Make it look real.
Right. Right. Now, what are the issues? Well, I guess the other question is large or small, because people have – Let's say I have jewelry and some precious metals, and I think I only need a small safe. Once you get a safe and you start, you know, when I first got, I have two really large safes, and you know, and when I first got the first one, I just thought, oh, well, I really don't need that much. But then when I started realizing how great it was to have a safe, I started putting more and more in the safe, and then suddenly, bam, we need a second safe. Now we got a lot of client files, but, so what are the advantages of if you get safes, making sure one of them is pretty big?
Well, I've experienced the same thing you have. When I built mine, I didn't build a vault. Anything with a door, I call a vault, whether
right.
It's the size of a microwave or a closet. I didn't put one in our home until the third home we bought. And I said, okay, this home is worthy of doing a vault. So I built one about 40 inches wide, 2 feet deep, 8 feet tall, and I thought, this is just perfect. I'll never outgrow it. You know, I put my stuff in it, and it looked empty.
Right.
Not today. That was in December of 98. You ought to see it now. When you open
right.
the door, it looks like things are going to fall out of it. It was
right.
just so full. When you buy one, you think of A, B, C, D, all this stuff's going to go in it. But the longer you have it, the more things that you acquire and the more things that you didn't think of that you're going to put
right.
in it. They're great
right.
for organizing and knowing where something is.
Right.
And, you know, like you said, fire. If your house burns down, you don't want to lose all your family photographs and videos, things, you know, that document your history and vacations. Things like that can't be replaced, and they're the things you miss the most, you know, if you do have a fire and lose everything.
Right.
So my safe is quite full, and I seriously built one too small, as did a relative, a very close relative, who needed one much uh-huh. more than I, who told me about you. He's been talking about you a lot.
Yeah.
He asked me not to identify him because his need for the safe was much greater than mine.
Right.
But he really talked you up and said you need to talk to this lady. She can help you. And
well, you know, that I've given up on trying to keep... I went through a process many years ago. I went through very serious litigation with the federal government, so I gave up on having any privacy whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you're me and you're doing radio shows, you know, before you know it, everybody's going to know what you got at your house, so you might as well give up on any kind of privacy. But, you know, I understand the problem because, to me, one of the beauties of the hidden safe is, you know, I'm not worried about the people who come into my house, but I'm worried about the people they tell what they see. You know, now,
mm-hmm.
if you're announcing it on national radio, you don't have to worry.
Right.
But that need for confidentiality is a really big issue. And I think one of the things that scares people, Dan, about getting a safe is how do I keep, you know, if I need help delivering or installing the safe, how do I keep the, you know, the people who help me purchase or install it, how do I keep the confidentiality when there's a chain of people who know because they, you know, so if somebody hears this and gets you to come in and install a safe, how do they know it's going to stay confidential?
Right. Well, they say loose lips sink ships.
Right.
The fewer,
that's true.
Fewer people that know, the better.
Right.
I haven't hired anybody in over 15 years. I have a close-knit organization. We're aging, unfortunately. But that has been one of the hardest things about what I do is finding somebody you can trust
right.
that can do the job. You
right.
know, as soon as you find somebody who can do the job, they've got a criminal background or, you know,
right.
they just can't pass the security screening. if you're just going to buy a regular safe, you know, who's going to deliver it? They're going to know where it is.
Right.
If you pick it up yourself and you pick and choose who's going to deliver it, that's one thing. But are they always going to be trustworthy? Or are they not going to tell somebody?
If you go down to Home Depot and you buy it with a credit card, they're going to know you've got a safe. You know,
yep.
So I'm figuring you got to go down to Home Depot, you got to pay cash, you got to pick it up, and you've got to install it yourself.
My first customer under the name of Hidden Safes looked at me with the strangest look on his face when I asked him to make a checkout to Hidden Safes. I'm not going to make a checkout to Hidden Safes. And I was dumbfounded. I was not ready for that.
Uh-huh.
And quickly, I thought of, well, how about our initials, HSI? Wow, okay, I can do that. Anyway,
right.
Come to find out, one day out of curiosity, I looked up in the phone book, HSI, and there was a company that did granite. And almost all my customers have granite in their homes, in their kitchens and
Perfect.
Bathrooms. So
Perfect.
It was a great cover.
Right.
But then again, what about the bank? You know, what about the bank teller? He's not exactly the highest paid individual in the world.
Right. Well, my concern is not the bank teller. My concern is that goes into a database, which is basically, if you look through the government and the contractors that the government has, if you look who I believe has access to that data, it's no more confidential than the man on the moon.
Right.
So, which is one of the reasons they're trying to go to cashless, is so they know where everything is.
True. I don't like taking credit cards, and I don't like taking checks, but, you know, I don't want to come across as paranoid to people. And,
right.
You know, I don't want to tell people, oh, you have to pay in cash. That's just, you know,
right.
That's their
it's
business.
It's their choice.
I'm like, right. And, you know, a lot of these people are just putting their jewelry, you know, things like that in it, and they're not that concerned. But then again,
right.
There are always people that are concerned. They're putting things in there that, you know, are quite confidential. And
right.
Some of the wealthiest Memphians that I've done, or people in general, have paid in cash just for that reason.
Well, that's right. I think that's why I think it's very important for you to think through, if you're going to take the time and money to install a safe, it's very important to think through, okay, what are all the different reasons why I want this safe, but once I have it, what are all the different reasons I'll use it or ways I'll use it? And then what does that say, not just about what kind of safe I have and how many safes I have, whether they're hidden or not hidden, but sort of how do I go about purchasing and installing and doing it in a way that doesn't sort of abrogate the whole reason to have it in the first place. So one of the things I wanted to mention is, after we had the safes for a while, I'm in a business which requires a disaster recovery kit, and we take it very seriously. And I've got everything set up so, you know, whether it's in the car or I can throw it in the car, you know, I can be out of here and operating on the road in very short order. And mm-hmm. one of the things we ended up doing was buying a small portable safe that goes in one of the stand-up safes. And so if I've got a skedaddle, I can grab it. All the things I need in it for the disaster recovery are in that safe. And so I've got a portable safe, bam, in the car, you know, as soon as I need it, getting out of here fast. And that's sitting in the big stand-up safe. And, you know, and that's so I've got something. If I need to leave, you know, I've got a safe with me on the road. Now, it's not, you know, it's not cemented into anything. It's portable. So you got to remember that. So that was one thing I wanted to mention, because if you travel, have you ever put a safe in a car?
Oh, we used to do it all the time. When we first got into this, cars were made much differently than they are now. There was actually
uh-huh.
room under the seat, and consoles
right.
were made differently, and we actually had a drawer safe that fit in a car. But, you know, all these years later, I can hardly find a car that it'll fit in. So all my clients that had car safes are regretfully finding out they should have held on to their car and restored it. Or, I mean, I've actually had people tell me what kind of car it will fit in. I'll go buy it. They like the safe that much.
But, well, you know, I have clients who have classic cars, you know, very old cars, because they don't want, you know, they don't want any kind of digital technology.
Right.
So they're driving around in 50s kind of cars. And I would imagine you could still do a drawer safe in a car like that, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Especially trucks. About the only thing that's left that I can do work in. And even trucks are getting harder and harder as they try to luxuryize them, I guess you would say. There's just less and less room to do things in. I've seen some pretty ingenious things that people have done to cars, but they're illegal, like turning an airbag into a secret compartment.
Right.
And I don't want to get into all that. It's just every job is different, and you have to charge astronomical prices to make a buck, and you're breaking the law on top of that and making, you know, a car unsafe. But, one time we did, almost everybody who bought a safe from us had one, you know, if they were a pistol person, concealed carry.
Right.
A lot of our clients are ex-military, and they just had to have one in their truck or car. And we used to do a lot of them.
Well, let's talk about do's and don'ts, because I'm sure in 37 years of dealing with this, you've seen the mistakes that people make. So what can you tell us about the, you know, what are the things we need to make sure that if we're going to get safes and have safes, what are the things we need to remember to do, to think about? Help us not make the 10 biggest mistakes. What are the 10 biggest mistakes, and how do we make sure we don't make them?
Well, you got to buy a quality safe.
Right.
I did a interview or I can't think of the word. I asked my customers a question, and what I asked them is, if you could do anything different about your transaction with our company, what would it be? And the answer I got over and over were two things: buy a larger one and put it in a more convenient location. If it's jewelry, you're going to want it convenient. You're not going to want to walk all the way across the house or all the way upstairs and across the house to get a ring or a bracelet, something like that. And everybody will fill up a safe. You ought to see a relative of mine's safe. You would think, as large as that is, there's no way anybody would fill it up. Well, you can, if you saw it now, you'd laugh. Unbelievable how you can fill something up. But, you know, it depends on the reason you're buying it. If it's, like you say, for fire protection, you know, make sure you're getting the right kind of safe. What I learned last night, trying to refresh myself on how things have changed over the years, the gun safe industry, they aren't held to the same standards as, say, the jewelry safe business. They pretty much make up their own ratings. They say the fire rating is X number of time for X number of degrees, and it's completely not true.
Really?
I was shocked.
Wow.
I was absolutely shocked. And they change things, too. I mean, to buy a good fire-resistant safe, you've got to really do your homework.
Yes, you
what
do.
What I tell people to do is get something. You said something. You have a safe inside a safe. That's what I recommend people do. Imagine if you have a fire, the inside of your safe is going to reach a certain degree in a hurry. But if you have a safe inside that safe, how long will that safe take to reach the same temperature? Drastically different.
Right.
So yeah,
that's in fact that's one of the reasons we got it, was we needed it for the disaster recovery, but it would make sure that particular documents or things were, you know, were protected in a fire.
We've done some interesting projects over the years, and met some very interesting characters.
I'm sure.
I did a safe one time that was about 6 feet by 6 feet by 8 feet tall, and I got to see inside it when he changed the combination, not the combination, but the lock. He got tired of his mechanical lock and went to a digital lock, and in doing so, I had to take the back of the door off, which means I got to peek inside it.
Right.
A lot of times I'm shocked when I see what's inside a safe. But boy, was I shocked. He had a pyramid of safes welded to the floor of my walk-in safe, and all these safes were welded together. So you weren't about to.
Well, you know, out where I live, you know, the common lore is you got to cement them in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there are great stories of people who got these unbelievably heavy walk-in or unbelievably heavy stand-up safes, and some guy managed to drag it out anyway. So,
oh, gosh.
Around here is you got to cement them in or, you know, it's not safe.
Like I say, I could write a book. I'm almost afraid to tell stories.
Right,
on the radio, where just anybody can hear them.
Yeah.
But
so, mechanical or digital? Any thoughts about what's the best locking mechanism? Is mechanical better than digital? Digital better than mechanical?
Depends on the person. Depends really? On the use of the safe as well. EMP. A lot of people are really afraid of an EMP, and they won't touch a digital lock.
Right.
So. Now, your typical lady who buys one for jewelry could care less about that.
Right.
It's instant access. If she can't get in it in 10 seconds, she doesn't want it.
Right.
But a guy who's got his arsenal locked up in there, he's not going to have a digital lock.
Right.
What if there's an EMP? How am I going to get in my guns?
Right.
So it really depends on the purpose, you know, of the safe and the person.
Now let's talk about how you deal with death. One of my fears, let's say a couple has a hidden safe, goes traveling, has a plane crash, they're both killed. Nobody knows the safe's there.
Right.
How do you got any advice on how we protect against, because one of the things that happens is people forget their access codes, people forget, or you get a death and people don't know it's there. Any advice on how to handle those kinds of, I'd almost call them governance issues.
Yeah, I know there's going to be a day when I find a safe in someone's home that the owner of the home doesn't know about. We've been doing this for so long that the homes are turning over. New owner, new owner, new owner. Some of them have turned over 4 and 5 times. And what's happening now, Catherine, is I get a call and I go to a house, and when I pull up in the driveway, it's deja vu. I've been here.
Right.
I wonder if they know they have the safe. And you wouldn't believe how many times they don't even know the safe is there.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll show them, well, guess what? You have one. Oh, you're kidding, where? And let me show you where. And I pop it open, and one of these days I know it's going to be full of jewelry or who knows what, because nobody knew about it. A lot of my clients, I wouldn't say a lot of them, but I've done a lot of jobs for people who bought it because of their family. You know, I hate to tell you this, but it's my son. He's on drugs or reasons like that. So they don't tell anybody. But like you say, it's something to talk about, and it's kind of a subject that you don't feel comfortable talking about, but I have to bring it up. I don't bring it up every time, but there have been quite a few times when I've brought the subject up. What if you're both killed coming back from Florida and you didn't tell anybody?
Right.
I used to watch the obituaries, but that got old.
Right.
And I can't remember all these names. We've done over 5,500 jobs now, and a name.
Well, that's why I think if you know, it's good if everybody has a. In the movies, it's always a trustworthy family attorney, but you can't, there's not always such a thing.
Yeah,
so it's always good if you can have the person who has your will or whatever. I think it's important
to think
through.
Put it in your will or tell a trusted family member is what I normally tell people. But
right.
You don't want to be the only person.
I
used to work for a man who told me that you and I are the only ones that know about this safe because it has cash in it. And in the event of my death, don't tell my wife I own this safe. You bring my son and show him. And this is like his chance at life, so to speak.
Right.
Which I thought was kind of bizarre.
That's a heavy burden.
Yeah, well, I'll know when this guy dies. I'll know quickly.
Right.
He's a close friend, and his son will be quite happy. If he dies before I, then, I'll have the pleasure
I'll
of...
I'll have to create another
that.
Plan.
Yeah, I get some strange requests. You didn't believe
okay, well, Dan... Any other things, any other tips on how we cannot make the one of the 10 worst mistakes you can make in buying and installing a safe?
Well, just make sure you, like I said, buy a quality safe. Buy one that's big enough. Put it in a convenient location unless the use of it. Like if you're putting silver and gold in it, convenience is not, it's way down the list. I don't care how much trouble it is to get to this. What I care about is hiding it. How good can you hide it? Because I'm not going to this very often at all.
Right.
So, if it's jewelry, of course, you got to get to it quick. You got to put it where she'll use it.
Right.
Make sure you have a trusted company. Paul Harvey did a story about us.
Oh, did he really? What a fabulous guy.
Oh, it was great. I almost wrecked my car when my sister did a conference call with Paul Harvey. I bought a book called Guerrilla Marketing and another one called How to Manipulate the Media. Just little paperbacks. And next thing you know, I had publicity galore for our company. Everybody wanted to do a story about us because it's such a interesting topic.
It is an interesting topic, and you've been at it for so long.
I wish I could tell story after story, but you never know who's listening. And golly, I don't like digging my own grave or shooting myself in the foot. So,
well, whatever we do, we won't put a picture up of you. Anyway, okay. Well, your website, Dan. Give us your website again and how we reach you.
HiddenSafes.com. Is my website. I really need to redo it. It's written in old code, and it really loads properly on a PC. this is a really hard business to be in because you're criticized for showing too much or saying too much.
Right.
So whenever I put too many pictures up, next thing you know, I'm getting phone calls and comments like, that's a great product, but now everybody knows.
One of the things
people say is, they'll never show anybody. You ask them for a referral, and, well, if I tell people about it or talk it up, they'll think I have one. So it's really
It's a tricky business. I do predict, if you look at what's happening with negative interest rates and more regulation of the banks, I do predict that your business is about to take a surge up.
It's happened, yes. The guns, the president talking about taking guns away has snowed us under. they threatened ammunition The government's stockpiling all this ammunition for every agency you can think of, and now you can't even buy a box of 22s or an AR-15 cartridge. It's ridiculous. So I'm on a call list of a multitude of people. They call and say that such and such a store has got AR rounds. Hightail it down there and get in line. And, you know, we buy all we can.
Right.
So, and another trend I've seen is people keeping cash out ever since they showed the image of what happened in Greece.
Right.
People standing in line to get their daily $60.
Right.
So next thing you know, people are, how much cash will that thing hold? Those are the questions I'm hearing. Well, in what denomination? I've had people brag about, I can get $150,000 in that little bitty drawer safe.
Well, there, you know, there's an effort now to pull in the high denomination bills.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, so, and part of that is not just domestically, but, you know, foreigners keep, will store cash using the high denomination bills. So, yeah, so I predict, Dan, you're in a surge. You're in a surge for the business.
Yeah, the gold and silver now is the trend.
Right. They're gold. They're moving up again.
The wealthier the individual, the more gold, obviously, he wants to have because he always wants to be this, you know, fat cat millionaire. So hundreds of pounds of gold.
Right. Well, I think part of it is safety. You know, I have an article on my website called What Percentage of My Assets Should I Hold in Precious Metals? And I describe something called a core position. Core position is, you know, what you keep to bribe the border guards. And, you know, it's insurance. It's really not an investment. It's insurance for the worst case to make sure that your family's safe. So I think that core position is, you know, particularly for anybody who feels responsible for caring for a family, it's a way to ensure your family's safe no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So well, a lot of what people are putting in safes, in fact, are the, you know, whether it's precious metals or guns or their documents, it's those things they need to make sure in the worst case that their family's safe. I will tell you, Dan, when you talk with people who've lived through Katrina or lived through, you know, a hideous tornado situation, the ones who come back the fastest are the ones who had instant access to their documentation because both safe and redundant copies, you know, they were really good at making sure they had, you know, the core documents they needed to come back up, whether it was insurance or other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, doing that properly and a safe as part of that can make an enormous difference to your ability to withstand the vicissitudes of fortune in life. I think so. You couldn't get me to give up my safes for anything, even though I describe them on national radio all the time. So. yeah, no, I can see.
You know, one of the misconceptions about a hidden safe is that, oh, when I build my next house, I'll do that. But the first one we did, the second one we did, the third one we did were all in existing homes. So our methods of building and installing were developed around the home you live in now.
Right.
A lot of people think that, oh, I don't have a place to put one. But what we usually
do
is we take part of a closet, for example, and now it's half as big or a third as big, or the whole closet is the safe and the entry to it is now gone.
Right.
And what I do is I walk through a home and I look for the best spot, the hardest place to detect, and that's how I pick a place to hide one. But what I'm trying to get across to the listeners is you do have a place to put one in the house that you're in.
Right. You do. You do. Well, Dan, it's a pleasure talking, and I want to thank you for joining us on the Salieri Report. The URL for your website again is
hiddensafes.com. Safes is plural.
Okay.
The first page of my website has the most information on it. is my website is kind of made where it distracts you and kind of gets you lost and disinterested. Really. If you dive into the website, the click here to enter button, then you blew it.
But we can't get your telephone number. We can't find you by
let's just say
going to the homepage.
The best. Oh yeah, yeah. My phone number's on there, but the best stuff is on the first page.
Okay. Well, we'll remember that.
Yes. Click
Dan
the right
Perkins,
button.
Always very much a pleasure. You have a wonderful day, and good luck with the surge in your business. Okay.